Good morning and greetings in the name of Christ. It's already been good to be here today. And want to certainly wish the best to you, Amy, and all the rest of you who are leaving. And may God be with you as you go. Should we bow our heads for prayer? Lord, we come before you this morning. Want to thank you for your blessings. Thank you so much, Father, for who you are and that we can be your children. Thank you for this great privilege. And Lord, I just pray that you would just open your word to us this morning. I pray that you would direct our thoughts. And that you would help us to be able to sense a little more what you have for us and direct our steps. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Just for a few brief thoughts this morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of keeping our hearts. And that title is taken from Proverbs 4, verse 23, where it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And thinking about this morning's Sunday school lesson and sort of the warning against reverting to the old law and how easy that is for us to do that. And there's a passage that I'd like to read from Matthew 15, in which Jesus is talking about this subject of externals and internals. Why is it important that we keep our heart? Or what ways is it important? Matthew 15, verse 1, I'll read down through verse 20. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" So you've got this scenario here in which the rulers of the Jews, the Pharisees and other rulers of the Jews, had systems in place by which they could gauge a person's righteousness. And they also had loopholes through which you were still allowed to do things that were a clear contradiction of the principle that was originally presented, and yet somehow, by this loophole, they were able to get by with dishonoring the principle as long as they obeyed the letter of the law. And Jesus is saying, you know, this is the essence of hypocrisy. And, you know, it's a trap we can fall into. And, you know, I think a question we need to ask ourselves, what is the opposite of doing a good thing hypocritically? Something we discussed in Sunday school this morning. "And he called a multitude and said unto him, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." It's human nature really hasn't changed over the years, over the 2,000 intervening years since Jesus had this conversation with the Pharisees and his disciples, and right now. We still tend to go after the easy things, the obvious things, and tend to ignore the hard things. We still like to go for the markers, the things that we associate with righteousness, and have a difficult time actually going after righteousness. We still have a difficulty with our hearts. It's just human nature. We're as human as those Pharisees. We're as human as those disciples. And I'd just like to talk briefly about how important it is that we maintain the right view of these things. It's true, and it's obvious, and it's scriptural to obey in practical ways the commands of the Bible. They're meant to be obeyed in real ways. It's also true that simply slavishly following the letter of the law is not actually obedience. That's not obedience. What is obedience? Obedience is following Christ. Obedience is following God. It's looking at God, what God wants us to do and the things that he asks us to do and saying, oh, that's what he wants for me. This is the attitude that he's telling me is important, and then seeking after that. And, you know, it's really important that we get this right. Jesus makes that very clear when he says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's the end result of hypocrisy. A plant that's not planted by God is going to be rooted up. It's important that we get this right. And then he says, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It's important that we get this right. It's important that we don't take shortcuts. And what are the shortcuts? The shorthand for righteousness. There's a lot of places to fall off that ditch. You know what I thought I'd do instead of trying to make a long list of ways to go wrong? I thought I would make a list of ways to go right. Things that would keep us looking at our obedience and at our practical applications in the right way. I think Christianity is discipleship. That's the essence of Christianity. Discipleship involves following Christ, and that's going to mean you're going to do things a certain way. And it's important that we slice between doing things God's way and hypocrisy and legalism. Okay, so it's not legalistic to practically obey the commands of Scripture. That's just obedience, and that's a command. But it's important that along with application, there's teaching, and that we're teaching the principle, and that we're trying to decipher what God wants for us here. Just as Jesus gave this teaching to the disciples, and he didn't just say, oh, don't worry about washing your hands, but he taught them the principle. Said that the important thing is what is in your heart. That's going to affect you as a person. And just simply washing your hands isn't the important part. It's what it's doing is obviously hygienic. It's a good thing. I think that was one of the beauties of the old law. One of the beauties of following God in any circumstance is that there can be multiple layers of blessing. I think the ritual washings, I personally think, was God also protecting his people from a disease. That's a fact. But it's also meant to have a higher spiritual significance, the washing of water by the word and so on. And it's important that these things be kept in proper order. I didn't check to see if this marker writes, so we'll find out, I guess. Okay, so what are some things that we can do to keep our hearts? The psalmist, or the Solomon, or whoever wrote Proverbs 4, says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What can we do to keep our heart? I think the first thing for me is agency, is a knowledge of agency. What is agency? It's the understanding that you have a choice. Agency is choice. You have a choice. It's the first thing that God gives us. It's the thing that we see is highly visible all the way back in Genesis 1. And it's what we see in Revelations 3, verse 20, when Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He won't knock down the door. He won't beat it down. He might shine a light on you, as he did for Saul on Damascus Road. He might knock louder on your heart than he does on some people's, but you still have agency. You still have to stand up and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We have agency. Try to keep my penmanship legible. Okay, what's the next thing we can do to keep our hearts? Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The first thing that we need to choose if we're going to keep our heart is to have belief in Christ, to trust him, more than a surface trust, but to pattern our lives after him and to look to him for everything. To have the understanding that every battle is first and foremost a spiritual battle. Every question is first and foremost a spiritual question. That's faith. Number three, when we come face to face with Christ, when we place our faith in him, one of the things that becomes astoundingly obvious is our lack of worthiness, is our inability to perform, is our inability to keep our own heart. And I think any true encounter with God is going to expose to us our own sinfulness and our own unworthiness. And the result of that is repentance. If you turn over with me to Acts 17, I'd like to look at a couple of verses there. Acts 17, verse 29. Paul's talking to the Greeks in Mars Hill. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. An encounter with Christ, choosing faith, is going to result in repentance. And it's also going to result in humility. Without humility, I think the door to Christian living, the door to relationship with Christ, and the door to relationship with each other is closed. Humility comes next. Jesus says, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And you know, at this point in our journey with Christ, in our journey with seeking after truth, I think submission and surrender comes next. We often talk about commitment, about being committed to Christ, and that's terribly important. You cannot deny that importance of commitment. But a commitment too early in this progression is simply me making up my mind to do things my way, and I'm going to make it work. Commitment comes much later. First, before commitment comes surrender, comes submission. When these things are in our life, when we've taken up our cross and are following Christ, I think the result of that is going to be a hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's going to be something that God gives us. He gives us both the hunger and the thirst, and he gives us the fulfillment or the what we need to give us what we're longing for. Hunger and thirst. I like to say that God wants your hungers. The things that you want say a lot more about you than the things that you externally do. What do you want? What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? What do you want more than anything else in the world? And then come some results. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is both a cause and an effect. Thankfulness is going to be a protection, a bulwark from negativity, from victimhood. Remember, in all of this, you have a choice. You have agency. And when we choose thankfulness over feeling sorry for ourselves, when we choose thankfulness instead of looking at each other with envy or covetousness, when we choose thankfulness instead of self-pity, then good things happen. That's God at work in our hearts. And when we turn away from thankfulness, when we lose our agency, and we become simply victims of fate and victims of circumstance, we are no longer in a position where God can keep our hearts. Next, I've got forgiveness. For a continued walk with God, forgiveness is essential. Jesus made it very clear that for us to be forgiven, we must forgive. This may be the hardest thing in the world for us to do, which is why I put it farther down the line. Because I think if we tried to jump straight from agency into forgiveness, straight and just making a choice, I'm going to forgive, I think we're going to have a hard time. It's not until Christ has done his work in our life, until we have become surrendered to him, until we have submitted our hungers to him, that he can begin to work that work, that begin to fight that battle for us instead of us fighting it ourselves. Really appreciated the message that David preached on this here a couple of Sundays ago. And then, and only then, I think, comes the vision and comes the mission. And we had discussions on that for two Wednesday evenings. Appreciated what was shared there. Vision is the opposite of apathy. And just as apathy can't simply be wished away, vision can't simply be wished in. It's the result of a life that's surrendered to Christ. It's the result of somebody giving themselves to Christ, and then his vision becomes our vision. It's not something we can drum up. It's a result. And then finally, I've got commitment. Keep your heart with all diligence. Commit to following him. Take your choice. Live in faith. Live in repentance. Live in humility. Live in surrender. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Be thankful for the life that God has given you and the situations that you find yourselves in. Or in those situations, find thankfulness. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Allow Christ's vision and his mission to work out through you. And be committed to follow him wherever he leads you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Keep your heart with all diligence.